WWE's 7 foot, 450-pound New Year's baby. So squeeze every last. Bring in the new year right with the WWE and Monday Night Raw.
What is up, my dudes, and welcome to the best things about pro wrestling this month, the show where you talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling this month, whether it's a match, segment, character development, or anything between. I don't know why I just did that voice, but take it or leave it. Hit that 5 stars if you like making weird noises once again. I'm Omar, the same host who's contributing to the misogyny industrial complex, aka podcasting. So yeah, what a month. What a month of December so far. And what I mean by what a month, I mean my personal life has been going so well right now because, you know, oh well. And also the fact that I'm recording this a week and a half early. So for all I know, Roman Reigns came back. I mean, for all I know, maybe Seth Rollins, you know, they did the wild card rule or some shit. And then they would, like, you know, have Seth Rollins lose or some win both titles and then bring back the, I don't know. Either anything could happen. That's what I'm trying to say, because I'm recording this a week and a half early. So yeah, in this podcast, we will talk about some of the best things, a few things that I liked about December, but also I'm going to talk about some of the best match, the best moment, and I will say the best wrestler. So that's what we're going to talk about mostly. So if you enjoyed this, just hit that 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. But before we get to do that, let me do the housekeeping out of this. So follow me on the social media. So follow me on the site formerly known as the Twitter, at Omar the Player Guy. Follow me on the site. Yeah, the site formerly known as Omar the Player. Follow me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. I'm confusing because I've been on so many social medias. I'm like, which ones that I have so far? I don't know. So follow me on those sites at Best Things About Pro Wrestling, which, by the way, I did look at the analytics. My goodness, I've gained like 20,000, not 20,000, God, I hope, 20 subs in like less than a week. That's crazy. This is all thanks to you guys, man. Like, it's hopefully by next year. So the short-term goal is to focus on short-term content so that once that blows up, hopefully the few people that are actually interested in my long-form stuff can actually join in into my long-form kind of content. So that should be the strategy for 2024. We'll do one meme clip and one podcast clip, maybe two meme clips, maybe one podcast clip. That's like the aim for 2024 and beyond. So it is what it is. So yeah, let's talk about December, shall we? And I just read the news the other week. Some speculation regarding where is Monday Night Raw going to move? So let's just talk about that for a little bit, right? I do think, you know, there are rumors going around, you know, I read somewhere that apparently Dave Meltzer was on vacation and then he had to, like, update his folks, like, the speculation regarding where Monday Night Raw will end up, because we all know SmackDown is on the USA, they're going back to the USA, and NXT is going to the CW for the first time, which is so funny, too, because wasn't SmackDown used to be on the CW. It was on UPN, but then UPN and the WB networks, they combined, they became the CW, and then SmackDown was on the CW for like a 3-year deal until, if I'm not mistaken, they were canceled because the president at that time wanted to focus on women-led shows. Not women-led show. Like, they want to focus on their women demographic, so they had to focus on women shows that that majority women demographic are watching. So they were just, like, focusing on that. So that's why SmackDown went to My Network TV, and then after that, they were on Sci-Fi for a little bit. That was, like, the dark ages of SmackDown, man. That was when nobody was watching. SmackDown was basically, remember WWE Superstars? You remember those shows? Yeah, it was crazy. It was just like, it was like the dark ages. It was like basically Superstars 2.0, basically. That's what it was for a while until the brand split happened in 2016. So yeah, that was when SmackDown became the brand split. They brought back the hit that five star if you mispronounce words. Anyway, so like on SmackDown 2016, they brought back the brand split because I believe the USA Network, they wanted like a unique kind of roster. They wanted a sense of uniqueness to the show. That was why the second brand split came back. It wasn't because they wanted to, you know, WWE wanted to like shake things up, you know, to quote Vince McMahon. No, they just. I think the network requested like some sort of uniqueness within those shows. So like, yeah, let's just bring the brand split back, which was in hindsight a good decision because SmackDown, like I said, at that point was like the Dark Ages. It was like on sci-fi and stuff on the sci-fi network. It was just like on the Dark Ages. So I feel like the brand split kind of re-emphasized, rehabilitated SmackDown as a show now. And then they were on the USA Network until 2019 with now till today with Fox, and now they're going back to the USA Network. So yeah, it's crazy that like NXT is also on CW. Apparently they're getting like a $30 million a year contract, which good for them, by the way. I mean, they deserve it. SmackDown. NXT has become a very, very good show. If the Wrestling Observer is going to do Best Booker of the Year, you got to put Shawn Michaels up there. I don't know what is going on. The past like year and a half, I was not enjoying NXT for the past like year and a half. To point, I stopped watching the show in general, and then like I started peeking like the now the Takeover shows, but like the NXT shows. I was like, you know, I'm pretty interested in what's going on, and then especially the last 6 months, you know, NXT has become a very, very, very enjoyable show, and that thanks to the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. So shout out to him, and I think they deserve that money, that paper that they're getting, the contract. And like $30 million is not easy money. It's not easy money. And the fact that, I mean, yeah, it's from a broadcast network, it is from a smaller network, but still, any coverage is good fucking coverage, am I right? So I do think putting them on that spotlight is pretty good. Now the question is, where do I think Monday Night Raw is going to end up? Because we don't know. They could for all I know, they could announce it before the show. I do think it's two people. Yeah, two places. Now, there are rumors going around that, like, CM Punk kind of helped WWE to go into negotiations with Warner Brothers Discovery. I don't see that happening. I do think there were talks, but I don't, just because there were talks, that doesn't mean those talks are gonna lead to a contract. It's just like they're just talking around, see what's up, see who's shopping, who wants to pick up the network, you know. And part of the reason why we would never get an off season is because WWE, and whether you like it or not, we got content. WWE has content throughout the year. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Like, just all. No summer break, no seasonal break, nothing. That's why for many years, they've always you could say there was a stigma, but at the same time, there's a kind of appeal to pro wrestling because the content is there. Like, oh my God, you know, Grey's Anatomy has no season anymore. I guess we got to put Monday Night Raw or something like that, right? Even though Grey's Anatomy is on ABC. It's on ABC. And Monday Night Raw is on. But you get my point, right? There's like this show that's like not going to air till like the next season, which is on September or October. And then, but you know, at least you got Monday Night Raw in July, June, July, August, September, right? So, and May. So I do think there's that appeal for wrestling for the advertisers, and because that amount of content is there. But yeah. Warner Brothers Discovery, I don't think so, because they already have a contract with AEW. I don't think. And they're also, apparently, I read somewhere that, like, they're pretty content with AEW. So I don't think it's going to be on Warner Brothers Discovery's sister channels. I do think Monday Night Raw, considering some of the sports that are going to that platform, and there are at least the American sports, right? I do think Monday Night Raw will end up on Amazon. Hear me out. Amazon, yes, Amazon Prime, Amazon. Considering that they're looking at the sporting and the sporting offerings that they have right now on Amazon Prime, I do think Monday Night Raw is a great fucking place, right? Think about this. SmackDown is on, no, let's see, SmackDown's on cable network, NXT's on broadcast network, and now Monday Night Raw is on streaming. I do think they hit the three mediums of entertainment, which is broadcasting, cable, and now streaming. And I do think that's it's a pretty good thing to put on your portfolio, right? We're on streaming, cable, and broadcast networks. I do think that's a pretty cool pretty good thing to put on your resume, right? To put it on your portfolio, right? So yeah, that's my thoughts. I do think Monday Night Raw is going to Amazon. I think if they want to hit that streaming service, I think what better way to do it than Amazon with their, I think right now they're going to have their sports offering, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong. So yeah, I do think Monday Night Raw does make sense to go on Amazon, or they could go to FX. Considering that it's on Fox right now, they could just go to their sister channel in FX. Could be, maybe not, who knows. But yeah, I do think Monday Night Raw, and I think that they're probably going to Amazon, or probably FX, but no way. I would be shocked if they go to Warner Brothers, but considering Warner Brothers Discovery sister channels, but considering that CM Punk just returned to WWE, and I said on a previous show that like 30% chance, anything is possible. I'm just going to say it's probably going to happen. It is what it is. We don't know. It's very unpredictable. The great thing about this industry, especially within the past few years, is that this business has become very unpredictable. So yeah, it should be great. Yes, I'm recording on the next day, Future Armor, and that is because apparently New Japan, another big story of the week, New Japan and all of the Japanese pro wrestling companies, Pro Wrestling Noah, Dragon Gate, All Japan, Stardom, all of the Japanese wrestling basically formed a Avengers-like coalition called the United Japan Wrestling Initiative, or the United Japan Wrestling. Basically, it's like, you know, with studios, they have the AMPTP, like the Associated Motion Pictures. Like, they have that union with Disney and Warner Brothers. Even though they're, like, two competing entities, they're still, like, part of the same group. And I think that's what the United Japan Wrestling is. And I'm going to assume the reason why they're doing this is because NXT Japan. Now, here's the thing. WWE has always been a monopoly for a very long time. So the fact that all of these competing wrestling companies, because they are competing wrestling Japanese companies, are like, no, you're not going to play Monopoly, my boy, in WWE. So they were like, we're just going to form like the Avengers, basically, of Japanese wrestling and say, WWE, you ain't doing that. You're not playing Monopoly in our shores. So you're not going to do that here. And I think that's what happened. And honestly, good news, because more variety means more wrestling us to consume, and for the wrestlers and talent to have jobs. So the more jobs we're going to have, the more choice we're going to have, the more things we're going to consume, because consume, baby, because we live under capitalism, baby. So yeah, I think this is a pretty good initiative that the Japanese companies are doing, and hopefully it sends a message to WWE that you're not going to fuck up, you know, you fucked up the UK wrestling scene, you're not going to fuck up the Japanese wrestling scene, because the Japanese wrestling has heritage, and American wrestling does have that too, but you're not going to mess up their heritage, and you're not going to monopolize their perspectives, right? I mean, their wrestling, you're not going to do that, so no. No, don't break my heart, but also can you hit that 5 stars? Anyways, I don't know what was that. Hey, Future Armor here, and apparently I spoke too soon, because All Japan Pro Wrestling is teaming up with WWE, specifically NXT. So, awkward. Hit that 5 stars, though, if you spoke too soon. So yeah, let's just talk about the things that I liked about December. And honestly, it's only a few. So like I mentioned in my previous show, I talked about the CM Punk promo wasn't the greatest. on Monday Night Raw. He did show up the next week on SmackDown, which happened on a December, I believe, or maybe late November. And he basically hit the high notes, basically. He basically did the double entendre with Kevin Owens punching people up backstage. It was like, you can't just punch people up backstage. That's very unprofessional. That's kind of messed up. Which is a double entendre because, number one, Kevin Owens did punch people backstage. That was number one. But number two, it also plays on the brawl out kind of situation. So I love the fact that he's doing the double entendre kind of situation. That was pretty cool. That was a pretty cool nod as well. Like I said earlier, hopefully he's on his... look, that promo might age like milk. Because maybe in 6 months from now, he might have a legit brawl out with, I don't know, Gunther, I don't, because that dude fought Jack Perry of all people, so who knows, whatever, it is what it is. So that was the thing that I liked. Also, the other promo that I liked was with him and Seth Rollins. That exchange was pretty cool, and for the reason being is that the Seth Rollins exchange and the CM Punk exchange was pretty brief, but it did hit that, it did plant the seeds for a match at WrestleMania, because originally, without CM Punk, it was probably going to be Seth and Gunther, but now, with WrestleMania in, number one, you gotta have CM Punk and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. That's number one. But number two, it should be for the title. I do think the CM Punk and Seth Rollins match should be for the title. And for the reason being is that you're gonna elevate the championship. That championship is something that, it's something that CM Punk wants, number one. And number two, it's something that he also wants, which is a main event of WrestleMania, which I do think is going to happen. And that's the thing I like about the two-part WrestleMania series that we have right now, is that you could, like, fit these certain storylines at WrestleMania on two nights. You could kind of speculate on which WrestleMania will main event the show. And I do think that could be, that's a good thing about those two shows, is that you can actually mix and match which match should main event the show. And I think, and also the fact that it's good for the people who lives overseas, because the last thing you want to do is just wake up with your just eyes, you know, just wide open, red eyes, waking up and like going to work with a wide, like with red eyes, because you stayed up all night to watch WrestleMania and then you got to go to work the very next day. So that sucks. Unless you're from Australia, which that's the case, then you're probably like on work doing WrestleMania, doing the WrestleMania show. But yeah, I forgot to say something. Yeah. So the question is now, since we're talking about main events of WrestleMania, who's gonna win the Royal Rumble? Who is gonna win the Royal Rumble? That is the question that we're thinking about, and the answer to me, I don't know. I think before, if you asked me before CM Punk, I'd say Cody Rhodes. After CM Punk, I gotta go with CM Punk. I gotta go. This is the thing that he's never won. The match that he's never won, and something that he wants to aim over, which is a main event WrestleMania. So I do think, I think CM Punk is gonna win the match, because I don't see Cody Rhodes winning the Royal Rumble twice in a row. Unless you could do like a number one contenders match at the Elimination Chamber show at Australia, where you could just have Cody Rhodes win the Elimination Chamber number one contenders match. That could be cool. They could do, they did that many, many times throughout WrestleMania season. They could do that right now. So yeah, I do think CM Punk is probably going to win the Royal Rumble, for the reasons being that it's a match that he's never won. And the fact that he wants to main event WrestleMania. I do think those two things are something that you want to aim for the WrestleMania season. Go big or go home. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that is the thing that I was thinking about. Oh, yeah, I was going to talk about things I liked about December. You know, honestly, not much. And the reason why I say this is because, and I'm going to say this right now, it's been 17 minutes since I've spoken. I'm going to talk about the things that I liked about, the things that I liked about in the year 2023, which is best match, best moment, and best wrestler or character performer. I think I've said this earlier, but yeah, that's what we're gonna do today, because you know, December's always been kind of a month for wrestling, and not a lot of progress happens because it's the holiday season. So yeah, And that was like my intention. I was like, by the way, I was gonna bring a friend of mine on the show, but he was sick the very last minute. So a speedy speedy recoveries, my G. So if you're listening to this, I appreciate you listening all for the year 2023. 2023 has been a very good year for this podcast. I was gonna say, I was looking at the Spotify Wrapped thing. Apparently, we, because of the clips that I've posted, apparently we've had a 14% increase in viewership. So shout out to you guys. You guys are the best. Thank you guys so much for that. Hopefully we can have 15% increase, maybe 20, maybe 30 in 2024 and beyond. So yeah, so let's talk about the things that I liked about 2023, because like I said, December was a kind of month. So I'm recording this like a week and a half early, so I don't know what happened. It's just been an month so far. So let's just talk about the best match of 2023. 2023 has seen a year of great matches. We've seen Gunther versus Jack Gable. We've seen Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay. You've seen, I'm just thinking on top of my head, we've seen, what else have been, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and the Usos, and the whole Bloodline thing took up to a big steam earlier this year. Yeah, we've seen some best matches, Seth Rollins and AJ Styles, that was on the NATA Champions Tournament for the finals. That's where Seth Rollins won the big gold belt, or the mini gold belt. So, big gold, mini gold belt 2.0. But I will nominate one great match of the year, and that is FTR versus Bullet Club Gold at the July AEW Collision Show. Bro, this match, you know, I was going to put Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay at the Wrestle Kingdom show, but after seeing that match at AEW Collision, I was like, yo, this is the best match of 2023. It's funny, too, because, like, FTR is, in my opinion, my favorite tag team right now. They're just the best tag team right now. They're so effing good. They're doing great things. They're fantastic. They're winning all the gold. They're doing so good. And them leaving WWE was literally the best thing it's ever happened to their career, because of them just going out there and just winning titles, being utilized to the best potential, being on AEW, which at one point had the best tag team division on the fucking planet right now, back then, and even to some extent right now, although, where's the AEW Trios Championship? I mean, they won it from, come on, where's the Acclaim, Billy Gunn? I don't know. Anyways, so yeah, it's funny because had CM Punk stayed at AEW, he could have, like, won the Trios title with FTR, but whatever. So, I mean, look, that FTR, they're doing so good, because it's funny because last year they had a great match with the Briscoe brothers, and now they're having another great match this year with Bullet Club Gold. That match has hit all the ceilings. It was just high octane action with a little bit of technical wrestling. And you know, I love me some technical wrestling. You feel me? And wow, like it was like after watching this match, I was like, yo, we should have got that on a pay-per-view. It was so good that, like, Dave Meltzer actually called it one of the best tag team wrestling match ever on US television. And I'm actually going to quote an excerpt from the Wrestling Observer newsletter back in, I think it was July, right? It's July. So this is what he said. I felt that the FTR match was the best tag team match ever on US television. It legit helped me in some ways, and other ways made it more difficult. The three falls for today are tough because people deep down believe it doesn't matter until 4-3, which is an excuse to look at other things at times. But another key thing is that neither of these matches were Iron Man matches, where, you know, you would have the last 5 minutes and the finish would take place. But you also knew, with the first two falls in, the FTR match and the staggering entrances that went 26 minutes in blood and guts before it ever could even end. For decades, I thought the best tag team matches, the best tag team match ever on US television was the Midnight Express versus Fantastic match at the Chattanooga Tennis. Whoa, what the hell? Chattanooga? I don't know. Chattanooga, Tennessee, which went about 40 minutes and took the entire 1 hour television. There have been better matches. There have been matches as good and few better on pay-per-view. And the Young Bucks versus Pentagon Phoenix match from Ontario, Canada was a very good match, by the way. Was totally different style, but so spectacular in many ways. And in some ways, not as good. But at times, but the time did allow this match to be more epic and memorable than the other two. Plus, you have decades of in-ring evolution since the Midnight Express was in the late 80s. So, yeah, Davey Boy Meltzer himself is like, yo, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. Well, to be fair, I mean, he does that all the time. I mean, 2 years ago, he was like, yo, this match is the greatest thing I've ever seen. This match is... I mean, at the end, it's one man's opinion, so you can't just take too hard from it. But the fact that he talks about that on a television match is crazy, right? And, you know, it's just from a guy like Dave Meltzer, who, by the way, it's just one man's opinion, like I said. But the fact that he looked at this match and said, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen, is a pretty good praise, especially for the new generation that looks at the dirt sheets and the filthy news, brother. So, I don't know what was that. Hit the 5 stars for that shitty impression. So, that shitty impression of the marks. Anyways, so... Yeah, look, he said it best. And the reason why I was quoting that passage is because his passage of the July edition of the Observer newsletter was exactly how I felt. You know what I mean? Like, some of the best matches I've seen actually was from the Young Bucks and the Lucha Brothers, right? My favorite one is the one they had on All Out. I think it was in 2021, which, by the way, All Out 2021, still the best AEW show. Bye, bye, bye. Bye far. So it's really, really good. It's just really, so the fact that it actually topped, and for a while, I will say this, my favorite tag team wrestling match of all time was the DIY versus, back then they were called the Revival, at the NXT TakeOver Toronto show in 2016. This match actually topped it. And I do think, after seeing this match, and I agree with Dave Meltzer, this is probably the greatest tag team match I've ever seen. It's probably my favorite tag team match of all time. That's why this is probably my favorite match, not only of the year, but probably my favorite tag team match, and possibly one of my favorite matches of all time. So yeah, that is how I feel about the FTR versus Bullet Club Gold at the AEW Collision. If you haven't watched already, which I assume... you have, because you're listening to a wrestling podcast after all. Go listen to that show. Ding ding. Yeah, that was a great transition to the second best thing, or the second best thing about 2023, the best moment of 2023, and that is the return of the Straight Edge himself, CM Punk. Look, I've dedicated... just go listen to my previous show, my previous episode, which hit that 5 stars, by the way. Hit that 5 stars on our podcast and Spotify. But yeah, listen to my previous show. I talked about extensively about CM Punk and his matches, the moments, blah. I talked about his return quite a bit for, like, I think it was 35 minutes. So just talk about it. It was basically the CM Punk episode. But I said earlier, this is probably, his return is probably the greatest Survivor Series moment in history. It is, and the reason why I say this is because it is, number one, unexpected, but number two, it's the bad blood that CM Punk had with WWE and how he went off, basically. And the fact that almost a decade later, you would expect to see, that he came back was kind of crazy, which, by the way, I was going to say, I expected CM Punk to come back to WWE at some point. But I always thought that he was going to be back as one of those, like, legends, similar to, like, Bret Hart or, like, rest in piss, Ultimate Warrior. You know, like, those guys who just came back years later, but, like, they're not healthy enough to go back in the ring, that kind of thing, right? So the fact that CM Punk came back at a time where he can actually go in the ring for another, like, 5 years or so, I think that's pretty cool. And I think this is a moment that I will probably cherish, not only as a CM Punk fan, but a wrestling as a WWE fan, but also a wrestling fan, which is also something that Tony Khan is probably cherishing, because it's like, oh, thank God I don't have to deal with this dude anymore. So, yeah, look, just listen to my previous episode. I talked extensively about how CM Punk's return was so good. And it was, and like I said, the greatest Survivor Series moment in history. I would even say it's bigger than the Montreal Screwjob. But for predictable reasons this time, you know. Predictable reasons for, I would say, management, specifically Triple H and a few of the executives, not the production team or the wrestlers or even us. So yeah, just listen to my previous episode. I talked extensively about CM Punk, so just go listen to that. Yeah, the final thing that I liked about pro wrestling, best things about pro wrestling in the year 2023, the best character of professional wrestling in 2023. Look, I had some debates. At one point, I thought about putting MJF, but I feel like his reign so far has been up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. It was like high, mid, high, way. It was mid, then high. Then it was low with Revolution, and then after Revolution, it was high again. And then the storyline with Adam Cole was higher, and then it just, and then with his injury, and then the feud with J. Cole. Don't save her. She don't will be saved. Don't save her. You should also hit that 5 stars, bro. Yeah, I was going to say Jay White, but it's just, you know, like, that feud was really cool. Like, you brought up his history and stuff like that. That was probably, I will say, and I liked him because he had a character development within his character, which is something that I've wanted AEW to have with MJF for quite some time. Because I gotta be honest, this man was so vanilla as a character when he first showed up. It's fucking crazy. And then when he had this feud with Cody Rhodes, I was like, you know what, maybe they could play like this multi-dimensional character where he was like, you know, he's just an asshole. He's like a heel, but he likes that one baby face. And that one baby face was Cody Rhodes. Until, like, he betrayed him, obviously. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be another generic baby face. He's going to care about the money and all the fame and, you know, stuff. He was just a generic heel, basically. And it is something that I've always wanted AEW to kind of explore his origins, explore what made MJF MJF. And then after talking about how, like, the way he dealt with, as a Jewish person, dealing with anti-Semitism, and the fact that seeing the terrible thing that has happened to him, dealing with a lot of bullshit that he had to deal with in his life, that's what made him hate people, and that's why it made him such a prick. And that was like, that made sense. I was like, you know what, that was something that I loved, because I was like, that is something that I've wanted AEW to do for quite some time, and I'm glad that they had that moment with him. However, he is not my favorite character of 2023, although I do think he's doing a pretty damn fine job as the AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Man, that person, I gotta say, who's been high and high and high and high and high and high. I mean, high in terms of a trajectory, not like actual high. That person goes to Matt Riddle, who, by the way, is fired now. So, you know, RIP his career, bozo. That person, of course, is Gunther. Now, you're probably thinking, Gunther, that's a pretty good choice, but I won't put him in high. And the reason why I say this is because of the Intercontinental Championship. This man was the MVP from January 2023 to now December 2023, who, by the way, had a fantastic match with The Miz. His match at Survivor Series with The Miz was pretty good, but that rematch was even better, in my opinion. So that was really, really, really good. And his match, like I said, the previous episode of Monday Night Raw, like just a few days ago, like, god damn, like, this guy just brought, the thing I liked about Gunther's reign, and Gunther as a, why he is the best moment, or the best character, the best performer of 2023, is that he brought out the best in everybody. He brought the best in the Royal Rumble with Cody Rhodes, he brought the best in Sheamus and Drew McIntyre, he brought in the best in Chad Gable, and he brought in the best in The Miz, and he even brought in the best in, at one point last year with Xavier, I think it was this year, with Xavier Woods even too. So the thing I liked about his reign was that he brought out the best in everybody, because he is the ring garal, and he brought up the best in everybody, and that's what made his title and his reign so special. And that's what I've always said, his trajectory is at an increase right now, which is why you could also put him in the contender for winning the Royal Rumble. And if I'm being honest, if he actually wins the Royal Rumble, I would not be mad at it. I would legit not be mad at it. I'm not gonna lie. I would not be mad at it. I was just like, for real, for real. And that's how good he is. Like, it's just on an all-time high, you know, that increase in trajectory of his career. And I think he should be aiming for the world title. I think when CM Punk, in my opinion, if I was doing, first of all, I would have him lose to Seth. I would have him win the title to Seth Rollins. And then maybe at next year, at Backlash, I would actually put CM Punk as a transitional champion. And I actually have him lose to Gunther like that. You know what I mean? That's something I would have booked, in my opinion. That's a fantasy booking that I would have done. So let me know if you actually like that idea. But yeah, Gunther is just too damn good. Although, like, the reason why I didn't put MJF, because I think right now we're on the filler arc with MJF right now. Kind of in the filler arc right now. But I still think he's doing fantastic. And I think Gunther is doing great. Kenny Omega is great as well. Will Ospreay is great as well. He's also up there too. An underrated one will be, in my opinion, Chelsea Green. I think her playing as a Karen is freaking amazing. I think she's an underappreciated one. There's just so many. Rhea Ripley's decent as well. I liked. Oh yeah, Io Sky is pretty good as well. Just so many good things. You know, I would have. I mean, it's just that Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus match was really, that feud was really boring until like their cage match at Payback had no business being this good. So yeah, I think Gunther is probably the best character of 2023. And that is it for the best things about pro wrestling in the month of December. We did talk about a little bit of that. But I would say the best thing about pro wrestling in the year 2023. Let me know what you guys think. And if you want to have a further discussion, follow me on Twitter. Follow me on the site formerly known as Twitter, because I refuse to call that shit X. At Hermit the Player Guy, follow me all on the social medias. That is best things about pro wrestling this month, which is Pro Wrest One, which is on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram. By the way, the Instagram's been killing it. I've been getting 1,000 reels of video at this point. So thank you guys so much for that. And yeah, I don't know how to end this other than we the fuck out and see you in 2024.